This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the Lamb of God. Amen. During the 16th century, the Dutch valiantly fought against their Spanish enemies. After one particularly bloody battle, Spanish soldiers gained control of the Dutch city of Rotterdam. And systematically, the Spanish soldiers moved through the city from house to house, searching for Dutch citizens and then mercilessly slaughtering them, men, women, and children. As the sounds of the massacre drew closer to a certain home where Dutch citizens were hoping to hide from the Spanish soldiers, one of the Dutch there had an idea. He killed one of their goats, collected its blood, and then poured it on the floor inside the entryway of the house. And then, using a broom, he swept the blood under the door into the street. When the Spanish soldiers stepped in front of the house, they noticed the blood seeping out from under the door. And one of them said, "See this blood? Let's move on. The killing has already been done here." The Spanish soldiers then continued their massacre at the next house. But the people inside the house marked by the blood were spared. You know, not many people like the sight of blood. I remember the first time I saw a cow being butchered. It wasn't fun to watch. There are some people who actually faint at the sight of blood. In fact, some people don't even watch certain movies because even the sight of fake blood makes them squeamish. Nevertheless, blood can also mean life and salvation for someone who is facing death. For example, if a person has been injured and is bleeding to death, a donor's blood is a most wonderful gift, a life-giving gift. When people donate their blood, they are giving something that they need for life so that another person might live. Now, of course, when we donate blood, we only give a small portion. Obviously, we retain most of our own blood so that we can remain alive. However, if every drop of our blood were to be drained from our bodies, then obviously we would die. You know, that reminds me of a touching story. There was once a young girl who was undergoing surgery. However, during the surgery, she lost more blood than they expected, and so she needed a donation of blood in order to survive. About a pint would do. However, they were completely and totally out of her very rare blood type. The only person around who had her blood type was her younger brother. So the doctor and the parents approached her younger brother, and they said, "Little boy, your sister needs your blood to survive. Would you be willing to donate your blood so she can live?" The little boy looked down at the floor, and after a few moments, he raised his head, and with tears running down his face, he said, "Yes, yes, I will give my blood for my sister." Well, they prepared the boy in order to take a pint of blood so that his sister could survive. After several minutes, the doctor said to the little boy, "Young man, we're almost done." The boy then looked at his mother and father with huge tears flowing down his face, and he said to his mother and father, "Goodbye. I'll see you in heaven." At that moment, the doctor and the parents realized that the little boy didn't understand what was going on. You see, they only needed a pint of his blood for his sister, but the boy thought he was donating all of his blood. That little boy was willing to give his life for his sister. You know, this reminds me of what Jesus did for us. Jesus shed his blood for us so that we might live. But of course, Jesus shed his blood for us not merely by donating a pint. Jesus shed his blood for us to the point of death. Jesus was willing to sacrifice himself completely so that we might have life. But that leads to a question. Why did Jesus need to shed his blood at all? Why doesn't God just say, "You're forgiven. Don't worry about your sins. No biggie." Well, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, we're told that the blood of Jesus purifies us from all sin. In the Old Testament, it says that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. You see, when God forgives us, he's not saying, "Don't worry about it. We'll let it go this time. No biggie." No, when God says, "I forgive you," he's saying that the punishment that should have been yours was paid by someone else. You see, sin has consequences. God cannot merely ignore our sin. He must deal with it one way or another. You see, we are sinners who rebel against God's loving plan for our lives. We do the evil he forbids. We fail to do the good he wants to do. With every sinful thought, word, or deed, we declare ourselves to be God's enemies. And for this treachery, we deserve death. And not just physical death, mind you, but as I taught our children in confirmation this evening, we deserve spiritual death in hell, eternal separation from God. That's why Scripture says the wages of sin is death. Now, God warned the first humans, Adam and Eve. He warned them that if they rejected him, they would have to face death. But they rejected God anyway. And you know, we're guilty of the same evil. We know God says that we should not sin. He warns us that sin results in death. And yet we sin all the time, don't we? But instead of giving us what we deserve, God came up with a way to save us. After Adam and Eve sinned, we're told that God clothed them with animal skin. Now, why did he do that? Well, think about it. An animal had to be killed. Blood had to be shed. And then God covered them with that skin. This was a sign to them and to us that God forgives our sin because he kills an innocent victim in our place. Of course, that innocent victim is ultimately God's own Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, our Passover Lamb. Ash Wednesday is the beginning of the church season known as Lent. And as I told our confirmation children tonight, Ash Wednesday has both bad news and good news. The bad news of Ash Wednesday is that we must face physical death because of our sin. And that curse comes to us all sooner or later, one way or another. And God allows physical death to happen to remind us that something's wrong. And what's wrong is our sin against God. But now for the good news. The good news of Ash Wednesday is that Jesus shed his blood for us that we might have life. Through Jesus' shed blood, our many sins are forgiven. And that means we are saved from eternal spiritual death in hell. You see, the real death has been given to Jesus. But even the physical death that we need to face, even the physical death we need to face has been conquered by Jesus. By his own physical resurrection, we are guaranteed that we will rise again on the final day and live forever in paradise, never to be parted from God again. Now, the theme for this year's Lenten services is Christ, our Passover Lamb. I mentioned earlier that our Old Testament reading from Exodus points us back to the time when God's people were slaves in Egypt. God spoke to Pharaoh through Moses, and he told him to let his people go. But as you know, Pharaoh refused. So God sent plague after plague after plague in order to humble Pharaoh. But after 9 different plagues, Pharaoh still refused to submit to God. Therefore, God sent his final plague that ultimately humbled Pharaoh. This 10th and final plague was known as the death of the firstborn. Every firstborn male in every home would die by the hands of God's death angel. However, God provided a way for his people to be saved from this plague. God told them to take a male lamb without defect, shed its blood, and then with a hyssop branch, smear the blood on the top and the sides of the door frames of their homes. And when God's death angel would see the blood of the lamb, it would pass over that home and spare the firstborn male. Now, why did God tell his people to do this? Why didn't God simply tell the death angel to avoid the homes of his people? Why all this messy blood stuff? Well, God didn't want his people to think that they were being spared because they were somehow better than the Egyptians. You see, the Egyptians were not punished because they were worse sinners than the Israelites. The Egyptians were punished because of their unbelief, their refusal to repent, their refusal to trust in the Savior God was sending for all people. But Israel understood that they were sinners, and they were trusting in the Savior that God promised to send. And the blood of those lambs smeared on the door frames of their homes was a sign of the sacrifice the promised Savior would make so that they could be redeemed. And so all that blood was a reminder to them that they were saved by grace, by the blood of the Lamb. Well, now we're ready to examine our gospel reading. Hundreds of years after the first Passover in Egypt, Jesus was celebrating yet another Passover meal with his disciples. However, this would be a Passover like none ever before. Jesus and his disciples gathered together in the upper room to celebrate their ancestors' great deliverance from Egypt. They reflected on that wonderful event and how God saved them by his mighty hand. But you see, as Jesus remembered that event, he was also looking forward to an even greater deliverance from an even greater bondage. You see, the very next day, Jesus would shed his own blood to deliver his people from the bondage and slavery of sin and death. As the Israelites many years before had stained the horizontal and vertical door frames of their homes, the next day, Jesus would stain the horizontal and vertical crossbeams with his own blood. And so on the night before Jesus shed his blood on the cross, he took a cup of wine that was used during every Passover. He gave it to his disciples, and then he said something that had never ever been said before at any Passover. He said, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." When Jesus spoke those words, he was essentially saying this. He was saying, all those lambs that were slain at every Passover, celebrated over the last hundreds of years, all those lambs were pictures of me. Your ancestors were spared because they trusted in me. In the same way, Your sins are forgiven, not because you're less sinful than others or somehow worthy of my mercy. No, your sins are forgiven because you trust in me, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. You are forgiven because I will shed my blood for you on the cross. My blood that you now drink is my sign to you that you are forgiven. Now, ever since that first Lord's Supper, Christians throughout the centuries have celebrated the Lord's Supper multiple times. God uses pastors to speak Christ's words over the bread and the wine, and those words of Christ give us exactly what they say. This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you. Our second reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 5 is very interesting. In that chapter of Scripture, Paul alludes to the Lord's Supper. He calls it the festival. He also explains how we should repent of our sin before we partake of the festival. And then Paul adds these words, Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed. Paul understood that the Passover was the picture of the reality that we now receive in the Lord's Supper, the body and blood of the true Lamb of God. Tonight we get to eat and drink the body and blood of Christ, our Passover Lamb. God moves us to come to this holy meal with repentant hearts. That's why we together confessed our sins at the beginning of the service. Also acknowledging our need for forgiveness, our need for life, and knowing that only Jesus can provide that. My friends, the Lord's Supper not only assures us that our sins are forgiven, the Lord's Supper also assures us that we have the hope of eternal life in the face of death itself. Remember what Paul says about the Lord's Supper? He says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. This is not merely a symbol of somebody who died in the past. The risen Jesus, who died and rose for us, is truly present here tonight, giving us his very body and blood in this miraculous meal. And so this meal is a testimony that Jesus is alive, that he actually comes to dwell in us. And this is a promise from God, not only that our sins are forgiven, but that we too will live again one day. For example, listen to what Jesus says about the Lord's Supper in advance in John chapter 6. He says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. My friends, you have been saved by the blood. You have been saved from sin and death and hell by the blood of Christ, our Passover Lamb. Because of Christ, God's judgment passes over you. And that means you are now free. You are free to live as God's dearly loved children and to worship him with your lives. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. In a moment we'll have the offering, but before we do that, please share the peace of the Lord with your neighbor.